This morning on Remembrance Day Sunday, we have remembered in that moment of silence those who gave their lives, those who served, those who are serving, including extended members of our church who are in the military. My five-year-old grandson's in kindergarten, and he phoned me the other day to say how excited he was that he gets to carry the circle, which I didn't understand, except it means that he was chosen from his kindergarten class to carry the wreath up to the front. And that's the only way he understood it. And so my daughter was trying to just explain to him about this, you know, that his great-grandfathers were in the war and are veterans and all this stuff. And then she finally sent me a letter that he had written, and it's kindergarten, right? So it's whatever. But it says, "Dear veteran, I am sorry you died." And I just tried to figure out where he planned on mailing that. But, you know, as our kids try to wrestle through what it all means and just the special weekend that this is. We're thinking this morning, as we get to the end of Peter, about commitment. So it's not a bad Sunday to do that on. This idea that commitment involves not putting ourselves always first. And that's what some of the songs have been leading us to this morning. And this morning is a little bit different at the end. It's going to be a challenge. And so I hope you have a piece of paper that the ushers have given you, because there's going to be a use for that at the end of the sermon. But we've been looking at the book of Peter, and today is the last one. It's sort of the summary of it. And as we've read our way through it, we've seen how Peter talks to the situation of his day, which is very similar to the situation of our day. We've been able to overhear conversation that has been helpful. And he's had a number of themes, and we could have actually looked at the book of Peter through those lenses, through the lens of suffering, through the lens of what does it mean that we live as foreigners and aliens in our own world today. But the lens we chose to read it through is this lens of becoming God's people and what it means to do that. And we're going to try this morning to try and just draw together some answers to that. And so I want to read to you just one verse of Scripture. It's all in your sermon notes, but two verses of Scripture, actually. It comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. I think this sort of sums up the book for me. Peter wrote, "As you come to him, God, Jesus, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." And Father, this morning, as we think about that, as we begin to reflect on what your word has been saying to us over this fall, and specifically today, Father, I just pray that you would help us to hear your call on our life. Father God, may we hear you drawing us closer to you, calling us to walk with you with greater depth and with greater impact. And so, Father God, we pray, be with us as we come. In Jesus' name, amen. Those verses from Peter, I think, sum up a little bit of the gospel that he's been talking about. And I think if you look at it, you can kind of see kind of three points within there. First, he's talking about God as we come to him, the living stone. And then he's talking about us. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up. And then thirdly, when we do this, we begin to see what God wants us to do, that we are to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. So I'm just going to talk about that. That's the three points of the sermon this morning. And it starts with this idea about God. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. I think the first thing that God wants us to do is to recognize that he is present. That if we want to live out our purpose in the world, if we want to live with a sense of fulfillment, if we want to die with a sense of completion, we need to start by recognizing and acknowledging who God is. That we need to come to God through Jesus Christ. And if you want the entire Bible in four phrases, Tyler and Glenn are teaching this class at the Cadre in the evening on the Bible, and it's taking them 8 weeks to do it. I can give it to you in four phrases, save you the trouble of taking the class. But it's really this: God made us for a purpose. Sin has alienated us from God. God sent Jesus Christ to bring us back to Him. And now God calls us to live for Him as we anticipate His coming back. And really, those four things sum up the Bible in its entirety. And they're not a bad pattern for your prayer. If you're praying in the morning to acknowledge that God is God, that sin has alienated us from God and we need to come in confession, that God has brought us back and to come to God and reorient our life back to Him. And then in that reorientation, to come and to ask Him for the things that are important to us. And so we're supposed to recognize God, but also it says we are to, as you come to Him, which probably more accurately could be translated as you keep coming. Peter points out it means coming to Jesus, who came to die and live and die and rise again, in order to bring us back to relationship with Him. It all starts with that relationship with God. It starts with confession of our sin and acceptance of His forgiveness. It continues with receiving His Holy Spirit and living that out. But it's also a keep coming. It's also not a one and done. It's not a once and for all. It's an ongoing thing of coming to God in worship, seeking His Holy Spirit to empower us. And so it starts with this idea that God is at the heart and God is at the beginning. And only when we get through that do we get to us. But that is the second point, that we are to be becoming God's people. That Peter describes us as living stones built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. And he says in there that we're to be becoming God's people. That we're in this process of becoming. Not only do we keep coming to God, but in coming to God, we keep becoming God's people. That it's a growth process. And we've talked about how we start as spiritual infants, and then we become spiritual youth, and then we become spiritual adults. And then hopefully at the peak of all this, we become spiritual parents who reproduce our gifts and ourselves in other people. And he says, as you become God's people, there's kind of three parts to it. He talks about living stones. Now, that's the same words that he has just used about Jesus. So one of the things that I think that means is that we are to become like Jesus. We are to become the people who are becoming like Jesus in our character. We're becoming the people who are like Jesus in the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, all those kind of things. We're starting to become the people whose desire is to please God, who see through God's eyes even. And he says, we're becoming these living stones. We're becoming like the living stone. And God says, we're in process with Him. And then he says, not only are you in process with Him, but we're being built into a spiritual house. In other words, we are part of a family. And what God is saying to us, I think, is that we are not lone rangers who have a relationship with God. We are people who have personally come to God, but now we corporately live that out as family, as community. And then thirdly, he talks about this idea of a holy priesthood. That the purpose of priests is that they stand between God and people, and they represent God to people, but they represent people to God. They're that sort of bridge that's there. That we're to be people who are part of the answer to Jesus' prayer that God's kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. That we bring the world to God in prayer, but through being filled with the Spirit, through what we say and do, we also bring God to people. And the whole idea of that, I think, is that we're to be the kind of people who are changing the world for Him. And that changing the world could be as small as just our life. It could be our family. It could be our workplace. It could be our neighborhood. It could be our church. Or it could be as big as a country. It could be somewhere in the world like Rwanda. It could be anywhere. I don't know if you believe this morning, but we're going to get to this. But I believe that God expects the fact that we have a relationship with Him, where He has filled us with His Holy Spirit, means that we will have an impact on the world. And I guess the question this morning is, are we having an impact in the world? And that third point that He leads us to, are we changing the world? And that third part of that passage is that He says, we are to be offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And I think that, you know, we don't talk about sacrifice as much. We'll talk about sacrifice on a Remembrance Day, and it's always put in the past primarily. But what God is talking about when He talks about it is the sacrifices that we read about in the Old Testament of people bringing animals or people bringing grain or people bringing wine or whatever the sacrifice. There's lots of different sacrifices. We tend to think of them all as being some animal that dies, but that's only one small part of the sacrifices that were brought. But when He talks about these spiritual sacrifices, I think the first thing He's talking about is that we bring our best to God in worship. When we read about sacrifice in the Old Testament, it's always about when you bring a sheep or a goat, it says, you know, bring a perfect one. It's giving our best to God. You know, there's places where they were supposed to sacrifice. We don't need to do it anymore, thank God, but it says, if you can't afford a sheep, then bring two birds. If you can't afford two birds, well, then bring some flour and some oil. In other words, you bring your best of what you have. It's not that you bring something impressive. You bring what you have, but you bring the best of what you have. And I believe that God is still calling us to that today. That He wants our best. That He wants us to bring what we have. And we've sung songs about that we'll follow Him and we'll bring our best to Him. And I believe that what He primarily wants is not our money, though we give an offering, because that begins to tell us and show God, is our relationship with Him more important than our wealth? If we struggle in tithing, if we struggle in giving 10%, if we struggle in being generous, that says something about bringing our best to God and how important God is in our lives. That whatever else we're spending that money on that we can't afford to bring it to God is more important in that moment than God is. So it includes that, but primarily it's about we need to give ourselves to God. And if we give ourselves to God, then everything else will come with us. And God has shaped us in a special way, and He's shaped us that we can make a difference. And He's shaped us as a church because He is calling us to bring our best to God. And now I just want to unpack that for like the next 10 minutes. I was up at Banff. We have a pastor's conference up that runs from Monday to Thursday. All our staff was up there on Tuesday. We kind of went up in two shifts because some had to be back earlier and some could stay later. But we're all up there and we're connecting with our denomination. We're connecting with our fellow pastors. We're connecting with the ministries that we're part of. And it was just great. It was 36 years ago, you know, right now, that my first time I went up to Banff when I was just starting pastoring down in Lethbridge. And, you know, I've seen a lot of changes over the years. I've seen, you know, a lot of other people grow old except for me and all that kind of stuff. And I was chatting with old friends. I was chatting with new friends. I was chatting with denominational people and all that stuff. And I realized that I discovered there were two approaches to ministry that were predominant in the conversations that I was having. And the first one was this idea of hanging on. I was talking to people about churches that have a dozen people on Sunday morning when the times are good. I was talking to people who, you know, were in churches that were in danger of closing. Talking about churches that had closed since the last time I'd been a denominational thing. Churches that were struggling financially, churches that were discouraged and disillusioned, churches that were fighting, churches that were just hanging on. And there is that in the world. There's this idea that if we die slowly, we're succeeding. The other one I heard about was churches where things were going better. There were churches where they were seeing growth and starting a new ministry, and they were seeing God still at work in their midst, but it was incremental. It was, well, we're a little bit different than last year. Well, we're starting a little bit of this or a little bit of that. And as I talk to our denominational people, I realize our denomination is probably somewhere in the middle of that. In some places, we're barely hanging on as a denomination. In other places, we're incrementally moving forward. We're starting a new ministry called Kurios, which you'll hear about probably from time to time. If you remember the old Bible school we used to run, the Baptist Leadership Training School, BLTS, which became Ascent and then closed. This is the reboot of that. This is a one-year post-high school program that's just starting out. It starts next September. It's the one sort of incremental hope within our denomination that I saw there. And then I asked myself a question as I was driving back and reflecting, and Don and I were chatting. And the thing is, well, we got the people that are hanging on. We got the people that are incrementally going. But where are the people who are risking for God? Where are the people, you know? And we thought back to Calgary. So in the 50 years, say, going back, maybe a little bit longer, what's happened out of the Baptist churches in Calgary? Well, First Baptist started the Mustard Seed Ministry, which is now in like five cities. Someone out of Crescent Heights started Rosebud, which has implications for the Passion Play. Someone else started Kingsfold, the retreat center. Someone else started Bedford House, which is a kind of a coffee shop kind of thing that ran for a number of years and still sort of does up in Jasper. Saw churches that were being planted, churches that were being built. And we just reflected and thought, where are those days? Where are those folk? And I just began to reflect on the state of the church in Canada, the state of our own church, the state of my own heart. And I wondered if what God wants is for us to see him afresh, as we said in the first point, to see him for who he is. And in seeing God afresh, to see ourselves anew as those who have a relationship with him, who have been filled with his Holy Spirit and called into ministry in some way. And I wondered if what God was then saying to us is that he wants to call us to be those living sacrifices who aren't just hanging on, who aren't just incrementally doing stuff, but stepping out afresh. And I would love to see that for our church. I mean, this year we started Cadre, that Sunday evening discipleship, and we had 65 people show up, and it was wonderful, and it's still going on, and we have a meeting tomorrow night to talk about next semester and where we're going with that. Don has this vision for including grade 5 and 6 in leadership and equipping them and talking with Tosh about what that could look like for our youth ministry and see that running all the way through that of training leaders who start young, as Barrett was challenging. We had a meeting this past Friday with our national mission executive where we put together a 5-year plan for how our church can have an impact in Rwanda, and that'll be the service next Sunday, as well as the baptism and membership. But the focus of that service next Sunday will be on Rwanda. What could it look like to make a 5-year commitment to a province called Bugesera in Rwanda. And what could that look like for us as a church and for them as a church and for that as a country? We have a group talking about how can we be part of the indigenous conversation that's going on around us. And some of what we want to learn in Rwanda about how do you recover from a 1 million-person genocide and begin to live together. What have they learned about peace and truth and reconciliation? But what if we could reach out and do those kind of things as a church? What if we could make a difference in the neighborhood here? To serve and help. Just the interesting conversations that came up. We were in a conversation with someone and they turned to Don, it was one of the denominational people, and they said, would you be willing to come to Vancouver to work with the church to help them with their children's ministry? They really need some help and they're really open to it. Would you be willing to come and do that? And Don said, yeah, I'd love to do that. And what if we could do that on a bigger basis? Where we could help the church around us. I was talking to another church, and they were saying, hey, listen, we've got some fundraising stuff. You guys have done some fundraising stuff. Would you be willing to come up and talk to us about that kind of stuff and some of the church health and that kind of stuff? And I said, I'd love to come up and do that. We had a great time raising, you know, millions of dollars here, and it's affected us as a church. But what if we could have an impact as a church and the churches around us? And Bill was up there, and he was asked to be part of the justice group and working on many things, the response to Indigenous and poverty and all these things. And, you know, this is part of Bill's role at our church here, is this poverty workshop that Barrett was talking about. But how we'd be part of some of these kind of things, of moving forward on this whole idea of Indigenous ministries locally in a field and poverty and justice issues of all kinds. And what if we could see our church as being more than incremental? What if we could see God calling us to reach out and to step out? One of the exciting things we do around here is we have a summer day camp ministry. And if you've never been here in the summer, it's like a dozen. We hire a dozen of our high school and college kids. And we had like over 300 children here. We ran a very small surplus on a $70,000 budget just for that one program alone. And we're talking about what would it be like to take a couple of those leaders to Rwanda on a trip that we're hoping to do in June and to have them be training the church there how to do this and learning from the church there how we could do it better. And what if we could do that at other churches in Calgary? And what if we could make a difference in the West here? See, I think Paul said, God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up of the body. And what church history has taught us is that we're really comfortable with shepherds. We love our elders who will shepherd us and our pastors who will do that. And we love teachers because we're a church that loves to learn and we love knowledge. It's those apostles who always see new things that we could do. And it's those prophets who are hearing a voice from God calling us. And it's the evangelists that are always saying we need to reach out beyond ourselves into the world. They're the people we get a little more uncomfortable with. And if you just take the initials, you know, APEST, it's the apes at the beginning that we have trouble with. You know, we have no trouble with the shepherds and the teachers. That's what church seems to be about. But the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists, what church history has taught us is they don't find a comfortable place in any church. And what the 20th century has taught us about, and I think it's one of the my own theory of church history, it's the outgrowth of World War II. Out of the guys who served there, mostly guys, some women, out of the people who served in World War II, who came back with a passion and a vision, they found the church too small and they started almost all of the parachurch ministries that you're familiar with, whether it's World Vision or whether it's Billy Graham or whether it's Young Life, it's all these things. And they exist because their vision was larger than the church could handle. And they needed to be in some ways. But can we be a church that risks for God? Can we be a church that steps out beyond the incremental, beyond the hanging on, and risks for God in the areas that he calls us to? So I think that starts one step before that. It starts with each of us as we sit here this morning. And the question for each of us this morning is, what is God at work in our lives doing? What if we could dream big? What if retirement was God's way of freeing you to make a difference because you have increased availability and your experience and your financial stability allows you to serve? What if you guys that are working and gals that are working and have families, what if your working years were time where you built healthy boundaries in your work and in your commitments so that you had time for God, time to serve, time to use those connections that you have through your kids, those connections that you have through work, where you could use those connections for God? What if some of you who are youth and young adults, that it was not a time for being entertained or being looked after, but your idealism and your desire to lead could be channeled into leadership and service? Now, I know she is the most polarizing person in the world today. But Greta Thunberg, if a 16-year-old without a strong faith and without a church base can affect the world the way she has, what could our youth do with the power of the Holy Spirit and the church behind them? And over the next few months, I'd really love to have a conversation about some of that kind of stuff. But I think God is calling us this morning to a fresh awareness of who he is, a fresh appreciation for all he's made us to be, and a fresh hearing of his call upon our life and our five values. Maybe he's calling you in the area of service, that there's things he would love you to do. Maybe he's calling you in the area of worship, that he's calling you back to worship, back to that quiet time with him, back to engaging in worship, singing the songs, being involved in the service. Maybe he's calling us to outreach, to that reaching beyond ourselves, praying for others and reaching out to them. Maybe it's that idea of relationship, that idea of intentional connection, whether it's mentorship or spiritual friendship. Maybe this morning God is calling you to discipleship, to growing and continuing to grow with him, whether it's reading our Bibles or reading books or being part of cadre or being part of a small group, but just being involved in growth, of seeing ourselves on that continuum from spiritual infants to spiritual children, to spiritual adults, to spiritual parents. This morning we said we had 3 points. The first one is, how do you see God? And I have a feeling that much of the church sees God as a loving grandfather who loves them so much that he's forgiven them, he's given them his Holy Spirit, promises to look after them, and can't wait for them to get to heaven to be with him. But is God a God of mission who cares about the world, who wants his kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven? How big is our God? Secondly, who are we? Are we broken, busy people? Are we people who are caught up in the things of life? Are we people who don't have the gifts, you know, like Moses, we just want to send someone else because we're not the person? Or are we people in whom God has placed his Spirit, that he's gifted and empowered us to be his hands and his feet? And how do we see our role as a church and as individuals? Are we just here to hang on till Jesus comes? Are we just here to incrementally do, you know, the things we do? Or has God called us to becoming a people who change the world? And this morning, I just want to challenge us, as we finish this letter of Peter, just to recommit ourselves to what he wants to do. And I don't know exactly what that is. But Peter says we come to him. And we, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, holy priesthood, in order to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. And I just think God is calling us back to seeing that we can make a difference in this world. Calling us back to saying that we don't just have to hang on. That we don't just have to have some incremental thing, you know, where we give a little bit and we pray a little bit and we show up a little bit. But that God is calling us that we can make a difference. And it's going to be in our own special place. And it's going to be in an area that he has prepared for us. But it's going to be within the body because we are part of this spiritual house. And he says we're to offer spiritual sacrifices, and that just reminded me of Romans 12, where Paul says, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual worship. Don't conform anymore to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I love the translation of that. Do not let the world press you into its mold. And just the question this morning as we get to the close of all this. Who are we molded by? Is it the world with all its agenda? Or is it God with his call in our lives? Paul says, I urge you to offer yourselves as living sacrifices. So I've given you a card. Hopefully you got one when you came in this morning. The elders, the ushers, were to give them out. And this morning, I just want to give you an opportunity to respond. We don't do this very often. And here's the deal. I just encourage you to take that card and just to sign your name on it, and then we're going to come up here, and we're just going to allow you to put it in the basket. And it's just your simple way of saying, God, I've heard that call, and I want to respond. I don't know how it's going to look. I don't know the details of it. Maybe you have some already thoughts about God is putting in your heart. But it's laying yourself upon the altar. It's coming and just putting it before God and saying, God, I want to recommit myself to you. I want you to be the heart of this. So a couple of thoughts. One, if you don't have a pencil in the pew in front of you, there's a 50% chance you're sitting next to an engineer and they have four in their pocket. They will share with you. Secondly, just sign your name. You don't have to write anything else on there. Just do that. And then we're going to sing a song and we're going to just invite people to come up and put it down. If you want to come up and place it here, come up and do it. Don't let the fact that the people beside you aren't coming. This morning, I just invite you to come up. I don't know if 1, 2, or 1,000 of us will come up, but it doesn't matter. All I'm saying this morning is I just think God is calling us to be his people who make this into that. And so as a symbol that you are kind of presenting yourself to God, I invite you, just sign your name. What we'll do with the baskets is we'll just pray over them as a whole. I'm not going to read each one, figure out who came forward and who didn't. My email is in the bulletin. It's just dale@westviewbaptistchurch.ca. If you want to email me and say, Dale, here's what this kind of meant to me, I'd be happy to get that email. If you want a prayer, our pastors will pray for you in our prayer time together. If you want advice, we'll disperse those out to the elders and the pastors to kind of write back and just begin to do that. If you want connection with ministry leaders, you know, we'll connect you with that. That's offline. That's online, actually. But that's not here. This is just, God, I just want to be available. I just want to be your person. I hear the call that Dale has been bringing through your word. And I want to be your person. I want to be more than just hanging on. I want to be more than just incremental. I want to be sold out for you. We sing a wonderful song, and we're going to sing it as we just invite